you talked about the huge increase that they found in MACs, multiple award contracts, 49% increase between 2006 and 2010. How does that impact the way a company does business on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis?
Well, Francis, it really means that you have to start your business planning process way in advance of an RFP ever coming out. Fully 25% of the federal IT market is now controlled by multiple award contracts, and that includes GSA schedules, which is, of course, the largest one. But if you aren't on those vehicles to begin with, if you didn't see them come out, that's 25% of the business that you're shut out from right from the starting gate, because the only way to get that business on those contracts is to be on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, instantly your federal market has shrunk by a 25% figure, and in this day and age when dollars are tight, you probably don't want that.
Having the right contract coverage in these areas, you write, is key, and knowing which ones are used where can help you decide what's right for you. That sounds like you're saying it's important to know what contracts are out there, but it's also more important maybe to know how you fit onto those contracts and where strengths and weaknesses for your company might help you fit in.
Well, that's exactly right. And there are two factors here when you're talking about the right type of contract to look at. One is, what's the right type of contract for your company? If you're used to doing things that are you know, very specific and very militarily related and don't have a lot of commercial components to them, you're not going to look to get on a commercial component, commercial IT contract, like a GSA Alliant, for example. The second part is, if you want to do business with somebody, say, like the Department of Homeland Security, you definitely want to know about the Eagle program, and you don't want to walk into a conversation with a DHS customer and talk about your GSA contract with them if they're going to be buying from Eagle. So you have to know what your agency customer wants to use when you're having that discussion.
Now, I hear industry people say all the time, man, I have to go out and try to get on all these contracts and so forth. Is there a situation where maybe it's not a good idea or not a good fit for a company to get on a particular contract, or should you be everywhere that you can be just to maximize your potential cover?
Well, there are two schools of thought on that. I come down, Francis, on the area that says, look, have a decent amount of ways for your customer to reach you, but not everybody can be everywhere at once. You have to also understand that these types of contracts are hunting licenses, and they don't guarantee you any business in and of themselves. So you have to be able to pick your priorities to understand that once you get on these contracts, you actually have to exert some effort in order to get some business through them. And I was looking at a couple of these contracts, and on one that came out in the Bloomberg report, 83% of the companies on the contract didn't get any business. Well, you know, that's a lot of money that you spend to get on that contract. So you want to be careful about the opportunities that you pursue. Once you get these contracts, you also don't want to sit in front of a customer and make them do 52 contract pickup. You want to try and guide them a little bit into the areas that you would have them go for the best fit that's right for them, because so many contract vehicles aren't just overwhelming for you as the contractor, they're overwhelming for your customer.
I was talking not too long ago to a contracting expert, and a similar conversation to what you're talking about there. And I said, I bet that's a big newbie mistake that people make. They figure they get on a contract and they're going to get some business. It's just going to be automatic. And this person said, that's not a newbie mistake. He said, you would be amazed the number of companies that have been in the market for a while and still think that they can just sign up for something and they're going to make money off of it.
Right, and you see that too. And sometimes you have a person in your company who knows. They just know that your company has to get on this one contract vehicle because that's where the customer is going to buy from. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Before you expend precious bid and proposal dollars, you really want to vet each opportunity to make sure it's a good match for you.
Are there a couple of kind of high points to consider when you're trying to evaluate? I know it's more detailed than you can give in a quick radio interview in just a couple of minutes, but are there kind of starting points where you try to decide that?
Well, I think one indicator now is because Macs aren't new, Francis, a number of these programs are now on their second, third, even fourth iteration. So if you know there's a program that's had a good track record of success, like DHS Eagle, for example, we're now on to DHS Eagle 2.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there is an Eagle 2 because Eagle 1 was successful. The same for some of the contracts over at the National Institutes of Health. They're about to come out with a third iteration of their CIOSP contract. And, you know, that those were the types of ones at first blush that you might want to think about.
All right. Always good to have you on. And the week ahead is, I think, required reading. How do you sign up for that if somebody doesn't get your newsletter already?
Well, send us an email at info@allenfederal.com, and we'll get right back to you.